I'm Emily.
And I'm Satricia.
And this is the Messy Faith Podcast because life is messy.
But God already paid the maid.
Amen. Or in Satricia's word, bless him.
Bless him.
Bless him. Okay. Oh, I hope you guys are doing well. We're glad to join you on your commute, on your grocery shopping.
Or you're laying in the bed.
Either way. Why did you go there? My mind went Journey a lot of places. I was like, only two people in the room.
That's funny.
You guys, that's an inside joke that you'll get once February 12th comes around and we drop the Valentine Day episode. Yeah.
It happened already.
No, we haven't dropped the episode yet, though.
We haven't dropped it, but this recording will be after.
Crap! Did we just ruin the podcast magic?
Oh, yeah. MG. That's funny.
That stands for secret. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Back on track. Oh, we have a very, very giant, huge topic. And of course, as usual, Satrice and I see similar but different. And so this is going to be a tantalizing conversation, I think.
It is, yeah.
And I love it, man.
I do too.
I just love talking back and forth with you. It's like, what?
Yes.
I never heard that crap. I mean, not that it's crap. I say crap everything. It's like a very bad adjective that stop using. Unless in context. Okay. So what are we talking today?
We're talking about purpose.
Purpose. Okay. What about purpose?
So we're going to go, I think we're going to go a lot of places with purpose, but I know one topic you wanted to hit was purpose versus calling.
Oh, yes.
And then like,
yes.
What is purpose, you know?
Yeah. And I also wanted to talk about the pressure that's applied to purpose.
Yes.
Again, coming from a background of being raised in the church, and you being somebody who wasn't raised in the church.
I went to church, part of a church van, but my family did not go to church. My parents didn't go to church. My household was not a Christian or church household.
Yeah. So who are we talking to might differ in our experiences.
For sure. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But I don't know. I think some of this has creeped into high school, just on high school education a little bit as well, where they have to do like a senior final project and, you know, they take tests on what they want to be and all that type of stuff. So I feel like there is some societal pressure as well as spiritual pressure on purpose.
For sure.
And so I want to talk about what that is. Is it healthy? Is it not healthy? Where's the balance? Yeah. Where is it okay to live in that tension? And then what's the difference between purpose and calling? Like, aren't those the same thing? And like, do we have just one unique purpose? Because then doing anything outside of that purpose will just be like depressed people if we're not meeting it. Anyway, okay. So what should we talk about first? I know it's a lot.
So what is purpose?
My brain kind of hurts a little bit.
What would you say purpose is?
Why you gotta ask me first?
Because you always ask me first. I got you. Gotcha.
Hey, now. Okay, that's fair. Fair is fair. Fair is fair. Tit for tat.
Very much. A rat-a-tat-tat.
Oh, my word. Is that a rap? Or a nursery rhyme?
Either one.
Okay.
It works both ways.
Oh, so many things. Okay. Filtering. Okay. Now, what do I think is the purpose? Okay, so my experience of what purpose was, we'll just start with that.
Okay.
Is growing up in church and growing up as Emily, who's extremely cinematic and wants to like change the world.
And she's dope.
Thank you. Right. Like, I'm the type of person that would have a speech. No, I kid you not. Okay. This will just explain to me in a minute. So a number of years ago, so I mean, I guess this is really speaking to me because I still did this while I was an adult. I wrote this sermon, but I wrote it in a way that I needed to go find scoring music. And so the entire talk, I timed to the score of the music.
Interesting.
Yes,
wow.
Yes, yes. So it was instrumental. It's this very famous German Sergio Ross.
No idea. But okay.
Some people know. Some people know. It's pretty popular. But just one of those songs. And I literally wrote my sermon to the melodics and the ups and downs and the cadence of the music. And then I delivered it in such.
Oh, wow. That's dedication.
Yes. So I'm a type of person whenever I'm writing, I'm like, it's like I'm playing the piano, but on the keys. Hmm. Like I'm like, I suck at music, but man, I can like, compose. I can tap those keys. Where were we saying? Oh, yeah. We're just going off on how extreme I am. So now imagine as somebody who hadn't been jaded by the world yet. Not that I'm jaded, but you know what I'm saying? Like you get some reality hits, yeah, you know, the more time you're on this planet. And so as an adult, I got hit with a bunch of those, still get hit with them. But as a kid, I was like unbridled imagination.
Yeah.
Like we would meet in youth groups and we used to do this thing called like human videos. Oh. You know, where you play music and then you dance.
Oh, funny.
It's like a live music video. Funny. So it's called a human video. That's I don't hilarious. Know who came up with it. But so we would like plan these to do at like youth events or like in front of the church for like, you know, a program thing. And I'd always be like, and I still get made fun of to this day by Keith. So Lauren's husband, I grew up with him. And so he still makes fun of me. And so does my husband. I was like, what if we had? And I had just seen Miss Saigon. Okay, so give me a break. So what if we were doing R. Kelly's I Believe I Could Fly. This is like during Space Jam era. I Believe I Could Fly. We're like, what if we had crosses come down and like we lift up?
Oh, wow.
Okay, man, this is before my time. Like I was in my creative prime at
That's
that moment.
Funny.
But everybody just would always laugh at me and just be like, Emily, are you... Like, I felt ridiculous because I'd get made fun of for all these creative cinematic ideas.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah.
So purpose for me growing up was I had to find it. And I had such big energy. Hmm. And I'll call it big creative energy. Mm-hmm. Big C energy.
Yeah, yeah.
That was me, like, filtering. Because when I said that, I was like... All the other big types of energy went through my head. Uh-huh. We'll cut that out.
Oh, my cheeks are hurting.
Okay, so purpose. I didn't do that on purpose. Was my vehicle that I was going to put all that creative energy and flow and... You can't even give it words what you feel inside that you're just trying to get out.
Yeah.
For a change, mm-hmm. to help, to find meaning.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's almost like a way of expressing meaning, like, and it's almost like self-validating meaning. It's like the only way you can believe that God made you is to somehow succeed in the eyes of others or make a change in people. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's one thing that I struggle with now and then, you know, and so purpose was huge. I mean, they'd preach it to us in church. They'd preach it to us in youth group. And the educational system wasn't there quite yet. So I mainly got it from my spiritual thing. It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to go into ministry? What are you going to? And so when I couldn't find an avenue to express myself or when all my ideas were so big mm-hmm. and outlandish or kind of ridiculous, it was hard to... find, what do you call that? Even ground or like firm standing ground. Uh-huh. So growing up for me, purpose was finding your way to change the world.
Hmm.
And I felt like you had to change the world.
Wow. That's big.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
What about you? I know it is. It was heavy, man. It was hard work.
I didn't grow up having that pressure.
Man.
Because... purpose wasn't something that we talked about. Purpose wasn't something
really?
That was, yeah. And God bless my parents. But I feel like life was more about survival and surviving
okay.
than it was about purpose. And so I would say.
Almost like purpose was privileged because you were too like immediate to be able to have the time to think about purpose or.
I wouldn't even go that deep. Okay. That could be so, but I don't know. I think it's just, that was just what life was. It was just about surviving. It was just about making it. It wasn't like we didn't think about, I don't remember those kind of conversations or things happening, but the first time where I recognized or desired was like coming to God. And when I came to God, I remember, I guess so a little bit of background on me, but
give us some context.
Yeah, so I started going to church probably in like second or third grade because a friend, I was out in the front of our apartments doing cartwheels and with a friend, and her grandma called her and said, "Hey, we're going to church." And I was like, "What's church?" And they're like, "You want to come?" And I'm like, "Yeah," because there was a church van that would come in the neighborhood and pick people up from church. So I asked my parents if I could go, and they let me go. And so I loved church. It was like not going too deep, but it was just a healthy, safe place that was like peaceful. And so I just started going on the church van to church by myself every Sunday. And I would go to eventually Bible study. And that's where.
On Wednesday,
yeah. And that's where, like, I saw something different that I wanted. And through life, like, I tried to hold on to that. But then in high school, you know, temptations come. And it was like, everybody else is having so much fun. Like, I want to have fun. Yeah. Like, it started off in ninth grade. We were doing Bible studies at lunchtime. And then by senior year.
no more Bible studies?
Not at all.
Were you in the eraser room, Satricia?
I wasn't in the eraser room, but definitely it was no Bible. But
you can find that stuff in the book of Genesis, I hear.
But yeah, just the pools of the world, and there it wasn't. I was like the outsider, you know. Like, it's not at school. I'm not trying to say it like that because I still was like known and loved and welcomed.
Yeah.
But just being different, like being a Christian, like that didn't
your
really
inner
fit.
Posture. Your yeah. inner posture with trying to find identity with your peers.
Yes, and I think they received me, but inside there was always a conflict. I wouldn't get too close because I still had these like, I shouldn't be doing this, but then I still wanted to do it. So it was like a little battle. And then after that, it was just like, I'm all out in the world, you know?
Yeah.
And so then I reached a point where I went way too far out, like all the way out in the streets with like, you know, like out there. And then it was like once I graduated, I don't know.
Tell me. I don't know, actually.
I don't know. This is it. I did a lot of stuff, a lot of bad stuff, a lot of illegal stuff.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Like what?
Why are you trying to make me expose everything on camera?
God, no, this is real, man.
You want me to
it's
expose
messy
it
things,
all?
Man. Show me your mess, Satricia.
But this is past messy. This is incriminating. Well, then, like,
no, there's statute of limitations. You're covered.
I'm covered.
But don't worry. Lauren's a lawyer, so we got you double covered.
Lauren's our other friend. It's our third part of the party.
Yeah, we're a party of three.
But no, I'm not going to go into all the details. I'll tell you off camera a bunch of stuff. But I did a lot of stuff, hit like a rock bottom.
We'll warm her up, guys. Someday Satricia will give us her full testimony.
For sure. Just not today. But no, just a lot of stuff. Just being a part of the group. It wasn't even things that I wouldn't say I wanted to do those things, yeah. But just in the culture and environment, you know,
yes,
you just do those things.
Yeah.
And so I hit a place where I was at rock bottom, and it was like, okay, I know where God is. Like, I know that I can find hope and joy and love in God. Like, I know that God is better than the world. Like, I know that it's better to live for God than to not live for God. So what are you doing? So I had this like, okay, I'm going to go to God and I'm going to give it my all. I'm not going to be distracted by the world. And so I did. Excuse me.
Getting choked up, aren't we?
Getting choked up. No, I did. And I did with everything in me. Like, I went after God. And I just remember feeling like, okay, I'm doing this. Like, I don't smoke weed anymore. I'm not drinking. I'm not having sex. I'm not doing all this stuff I used to do. Like, okay, God, like, what's my purpose? It was like this big thing. And so I went to, back then they used to have these Christian like hip hop clubs.
Oh, what?
Yeah, they should bring it back. But
that could be our next ministry.
That'd be dope. Yes, for the young people.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we can make sure that the beat's still cool, but the words are uplifting too.
I mean, But yeah, so I used to go to that, and that was like my thing to go to not do the stuff that I was doing before. And they had this prophet guy. His name was like Prophet Cy, but his real name was Jeremy. He was dope in real life. He's passed away, so rest in peace to him and his beautiful wife and children. But he said to me, I remember I went up there and I'm like,
he spoke a word over you?
Yeah. Everyone was like in line or whatever. Well, where were we in line? I don't know. But at some point I got up there to him and I'm like, I just want to know what my purpose is. And like, I'm just telling him that. And he's praying for me and he prays, I pray that you would know God. And my heart hurt so much because I was like, I do know God. Like, I've given up everything for God. I do know God. Like, that's what my heart said. So I walked away and I was like, I was so heartbroken because I wanted him to.
Like, God didn't tell you your purpose that night.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He didn't tell me how I wanted to hear it. Yeah. So I wanted him to be like, and you're called to do this and you're called to do that. But he didn't. He just prayed that I would know God. And at the moment, like after that, I was like, man. And like, eventually after that, I got really close to him. Like, we were cool. We went on like a trip thing together and it let me know him more and all this stuff. He was a great person. He really heard from God. But fast forward to now, I understand, like, there was an aha moment where God brought that back. And I was like, that's what it was. He was so spot on. And it was a word. It was a seed that God planted in me those years ago for this season of my life now. And so that's how like purpose stood out to me. That was like the first like, oh, I want to know. And I was so heartbroken, like, oh. And so over the years, do you want me to get to now what I believe purpose is?
Yes, but I want to say what I thought in my head after what you said first.
Okay.
Okay. It's like we always think, based on your response and your experience, that purpose is something to do, but it could be a person to be.
I thought, to be.
Sorry, the mic was sounding very, very VO voiceover. So.
Yeah, I thought purpose was like, what are you going to do with your life? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you, and what are you called to do if we're talking about purpose versus calling? Like, I thought it was just that. I thought it was like this destination that we all needed to get to or know that we're going toward.
Correct, correct. You're making some sort of progress. We need measurable progress here, people.
Yeah, I needed to see a landmark. I needed to see that's purpose and okay, I'm headed toward there.
Yes, like,
that's
what I needed direction. To see. Yeah.
But do you want me to get to what I think purpose is now?
Get to it.
Okay. But I strongly believe that over the years, I believe the Lord showed me that purpose is not a destination, but there's purpose found in every single day. And the main purpose of like life and while we're living is to know God. And there's a scripture, in Daniel 11:32, and it's part B. And it's those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. And that is a scripture that I probably will get tattooed like right here.
I know. I was about to say, this is like, you've mentioned it numerous times. It's your life verse, isn't it?
It is like, it changed my life.
Yeah.
Because I think we are always so focused on the great exploits that's promised in that scripture, which we say is the purpose. Like, we think the great exploits are the purpose. We're always so focused on like getting to those exploits that we don't realize that how we get there is by knowing God. And in knowing God, he will strengthen us and he'll lead us. It's like a journey. And on the journey, and as I wake up and I make knowing God a priority of mine, whether that's in my word or in prayer, as I make that a priority, the Holy Spirit will reveal what purpose is for today, because there's a different purpose in every single day. And so today, my purpose for today, he might just say, your purpose is to minister to your children. And what that looks like might be me waking up and making breakfast, me helping with homework, me giving a hug because they fell or they hurt themselves or something like that, or me giving them advice with their friendships or whatever they're going through. Or that day, the purpose might be me going to the store, and I'm at the store at this time, and this other stranger is at the store and they don't have enough money, and I have an extra dollar, and I'm like, here is the dollar. And I say, God bless you. And they're just like, wow. And that's a seed that's planted of God bless you to them that God will water, you know, throughout their life. Or maybe my purpose in this day is something big. like this podcast, you know, maybe the purpose for today is God is using us in this podcast to minister to someone who might see it 10 years from now or 1 month from now or a week from now, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think purpose isn't this one-time destination. I think that there's purpose in every single day. And we discover that purpose as we're in fellowship with God, as we're in pursuit of knowing God more. And there's no pressure of like, you have to do this great thing. Because what if your great thing is a seed that is supposed to be harvested generations to come? You know, what if you're the one who... Yeah. raises the child that's going to deliver the world, or you raise, or you
like the like the preacher that stood up like he did every Sunday or Wednesday night and preached a sermon, mm-hmm. and Billy Graham was in the back row with his friend.
Yes. So what if your purpose is attached to a larger you know, but if we're always looking for the big thing, we miss not only like the intimacy of knowing God, but we also miss the seeds that we're supposed to spread as we go along in
our
journey.
Yes, yes, yes. We're so, even as people walking on the way, we can be so egotistical sometimes.
Yes.
And wanting to, as we're, you know, expressing our, or fulfilling our calling or journeying on our way there, it's always that outcome that like gives us that dopamine rush and that sense of value and worth. Yeah. At least that's how I relate.
No,
so
for sure.
What you just said literally took me 25 years to understand.
Hmm. Yeah. It took me all these years too. I just got it last year. I think last year before.
Okay. So I'm just a few months behind you then. Yes. No, I 100% concur with what you said. But I kind of think of purpose as like layers, mm-hmm. like there's different purposes. Like you were saying, it's almost like you were saying there's micro purposes.
Yeah.
So I think there's an overarching purpose as well that has nothing to do with what we do.
Are we going there?
We're going there.
I'm going to get you. Got my gloves on.
Okay.
So, I'm prepared.
Okay.
Psych, no.
So I think one of our purposes is just being, mm-hmm. literally. Just let me finish.
I'm letting you. I'm not saying that.
Just being, like even the Bible says to be still and know Him, right? So just being, not being in busyness, not being in having to produce something, not being in creating something, not being in making, but literally just standing, breathing. And literally that's it, knowing that God had such an amazing, unique idea, combination of looks, idiosyncrasies, giftings, and He mushed it all together and made you. Like, that is like, you are hanging in the gallery of His creations, which is 7 billion plus. Okay? Yeah. So
you're like trying to read my face.
No, because I'm not
that. I can feel you trying to read.
I'll leave you space to come in. So I think the anchor purpose for us is knowing that He made us to look at us and to like we can stand in awe and being proud in the sense of He made an amazing creation. So we're standing in awe of His creation, but that creation is us.
Yeah. Okay. I feel where you're going.
Okay.
Or how I feel where you're coming from. That's what it is. I feel where you're coming from. But I believe that we were designed and created to give and bring God glory.
Yes.
And so I think from that, not just us not doing anything or just being there, because that's why He gave us kind of free will. And He didn't just make us statues or He didn't just make us robots.
Oh, you're he taking it us, so literally.
Yeah. And the only reason why is because there's some people that would hear that, this new age Christianity, that would hear that and will believe that they can... that He created them without the purpose of bringing them glory. And that piece, the bring Him glory, makes the difference of like your moral compass too. You know, mm-hmm. if you just think you're just so great and He just wants to look at me and that's it. There's no, here I present you back your crown. You know, like the word says, you know, when you get to heaven.
Yeah.
But we bring him glory by knowing him, by obeying him too, by, you know what I mean? There's a works that is a part of that without the pressure, not the pressure of you're horrible, or, and it's not with the condition of I love you if you do this. He loves us. He created us to love us, but he created us for his glory. And there's a purpose in, like, there's a doing in that.
I do concur. So I'm just going to get a verse out there that represent that like totally says what you're going to say. It's the, you know, it's the popular for some. It's Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. Right? So it's like, yeah. No, it's supporting you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so now I guess context is king.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you just said is true. But I do think that if you can't be at that place where you understand that the good father, the great architect, the master artist
mm-hmm.
created you, and you can't, in a sense, enjoy or acknowledge or stand in awe of that creation, which is you, then it's going to be really hard to get in tune and to do healthy the works that he's created for you.
But I think the view is that he loves you. That's what makes you healthy to do that. Because when you know that he loves you.
Isn't that what you're standing there doing? He loved you so much. That's why he created you. That's the underarching thing.
But not to just like marvel at you and you do nothing. You know what I mean?
But what else am I supposed to do? He died on the cross for me.
Yes.
What is left to do?
I love you despite of you. You know what I mean? Despite like your flaws. Like, and knowing that empowers you to do those things, because if I know that God loves me, even when I'm a mess, he loves me even when I'm not perfect, even when I don't complete the task, like with an A+, mm-hmm. if I know that he loves me, it gives me hope to keep trying and to keep on going, to keep on,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
And that second right there is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because if you can't stand and understand and believe that he made you, and he made you exactly like he made Emily with this big nose, he made Emily with these learning disabilities, you know, he made me this unique way. He made me this cinematic. You know what I'm saying? He was in charge of, yes, there's collateral damage and all that stuff, but he has complete control over everything. Yeah. So everything that helps shape and form, even how I misformed, he's still working all that stuff out for good. But I'm saying if I can't stand at a place and accept how he made me, then everything I do from that point on is going to be done in the going back from flesh to his work. It's going to be a harder road of fulfilling that purpose.
Yeah. And that's 100% agree with that point.
That
but
is
not
very
just to look at us in awe. I don't think that was the purpose of us being created. Because that would imply that it's about us.
Okay, you know, so what I'm fighting is a culture of doing.
Yeah.
A culture of producing to be.
Yeah.
Right? So my statement is in the context of the Industrial Revolution and on. Okay?
Yeah.
So... So I think this generation and my generation need to hear that, because
they got to hear it with the balance, though. But that's why we're here together.
They
got to hear it with the balance, because there is like New Age Christianity. You know about that?
I don't. Educate me.
I don't even know if I have all the details. I don't even have the lingo to educate you on it, but I'll just say it. I'll simplify it to this. There's a doctrine. Let's get all there's a doctrine.
There is a worldly doctrine going around.
Yet know that waters down the word of God. And it's because I believe in the past, it may not have been communicated as well. Like, how do I even word this? The pressures that you talked about growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I think those pressures make people want to throw away, like, it's not that deep. It's
like
not that serious.
Opposite pendulum swing.
Yes. And so there's a New Age, like, Christian, like, ideal that is like, it's not that serious. Everything is just covered in love and in the blood, and just live kind of however. And so sometimes when those ideas are presented, you have to give the full roundness of it, because someone who is already on the edge of, like, this New Age Christianity of like it's not that deep and it's not that serious, they will take that and they'll run with that. And it's like, I don't have to pray or I don't have to get to know God. He just created me to look at me and I'm great even in all of my flaws and I never have to grow.
Yeah. And but you're so, filling a lot in there in what I said.
No, I know, but I'm saying, so it's just important to make sure it's the fullness of it, because for the listener, not y'all, not the messy faith family, but it's just not leaving room for the enemy to paint a picture of what is not God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what the enemy does. He'll take little pieces of truth and he'll use that to kind of water down the real truth to get people so comfortable where it's just like a case or all kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is, a part of like us bringing him glory requires a level of obedience.
Oh, 100%.
Requires a level of doing.
Yeah.
And so although like the doing is not right, you know what I mean?
But it's out of the awe and the love and the thankfulness for him creating you and you being able to see yourself as an amazing creating being. That's where the juice and all of that comes for wanting to fulfill the calling and the purpose of knowing him. It's that curiosity, that grateful, overflowing love that makes us want to get to know him more.
Yeah. But you know, for me, what makes me want to know him more is knowing and seeing how a mess I am and knowing that he still loves me in my mess. And he still was willing to die, knowing all the mistakes I would make, knowing all the sins that I would do, all of the horrible things that, you know, he knows all of that. And he still decided to send his son to be tortured and die for me. And that makes me want to bring him glory. That makes me want.
Yes.
Because that's a marvelous God. That's a good father. It makes whatever I have to endure in this world worth me enduring, because you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I want to bring him glory.
Okay. I guess let me help shape, because I think we're saying the same thing.
I think you grew up in the church.
Yes.
And so.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'll say, after you say your thought, I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I'm going to say what I want to say.
Okay. So just growing up in the societies that we have grown up in, it's mm-hmm. like you have to work. You have to produce, you have to do these things. And while we do have a purpose, God-given purpose, and calling and divine appointments with specific people and specific situations that are going to shape us into ministering to these people, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I totally believe all of that. And I believe that there is, purpose. I just think that there's layers of purpose. Mm-hmm. And the one that I think...
And sides to layers and sides.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 It's like nine dimensions long. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't know, again, probably from growing up in the church, I remember as a young adult sitting in my friend's apartment and just really struggling on the inside with trying to do enough in ministry or do enough to change the world. Like mm-hmm. I was literally trying to change the world, woman. I mean, mm-hmm. like seriously trying to change the world, you know, like let's spark some revival, man. Yeah, like too, I'm all for bringing back tent revivals. Like, mm-hmm. like let's do this thing.
Yeah.
Right. And it was so like taxing. Like I was putting the pressure of the fate of the entire world on myself.
Yeah.
And so two of my friends, Scotty and Brandon, I don't know if they sensed it or what conversation we were talking about, but they were just like, Emily, there's nothing else you have to do. There's nothing else you have to do. And I just started like tearing up and like crying because I have been trying to work to show my value to God.
Yeah.
Like unintentionally working to prove prove my salvation or whatever, mm-hmm. or like if I didn't keep doing these things or working for him, then I might backslide or I might, you know, I might not. I never thought I wouldn't have salvation, but like my actions said otherwise, even though my brain didn't think that,
mm-hmm.
at least consciously.
Yeah.
And so when I heard that at that point, there is nothing else. It rocked my world.
Yeah.
It kind of changed. Like, there was me before that and then me after it. And there's been a few renditions of me after that, before that, is after that remix as well. Yeah. There's been a few remixes. But I think that's important for people to hear that once. So like, people say all the time, like, you go find God, or, you know, like the Bible says, you know, to seek him. So I believe that there's aspects of finding him, but you have to understand that the Bible, and I'm holding this up because, you know, I got a digital one. My Bible's in the other room. Is a giant, like love letter. Like, he's chasing at spoiler alert. He's chasing you down. He's sending people around you, and what's required for you is to receive and to choose.
Yeah.
And then after that point, there is nothing else you have to do to earn that place, that position.
Yeah.
That's so, not saying that you don't have a purpose and work to do. I'm saying when there's work to do, you do work. When it's a season of do, you do. When it's a season of rest, you rest. I'm not saying any of that's creepy, but I'm saying that there is a healthy place and understanding that I think this generation needs to come to.
So I think I agree. I think there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, because that's a gift that's free. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Free to us. But in context to purpose, there's a partnership that we do have to do, you know, that we have to walk out daily.
Oh, 100%.
And that's the point that I'm getting to, is like that there's a part that we have to do in partnership for purpose.
Yeah.
But
I guess this speaks to not being not feeling enough then.
Yeah. Because
you have to know that you're enough not doing anything for Jesus.
Yeah. Look, you're going to let me talk, okay?
I know.
You're like, let me get it out.
So you can feel understanding.
No, I do. Okay. I understand where you're coming from. But I think it's in context to like earning love or earning salvation. And that's freely given to us. And that was given to us before we were even born, you know? but I understand exactly what you're talking about, because this is how I feel. Remember in the episode when we talked about not feeling like we're good enough and
yes,
stuff?
Yes, yeah.
I didn't go through that being raised in the church as a child, but as an adult coming to God, you know, or young adult coming to God, I experienced that. I would try to do everything perfect because I wanted to just, one, be authentic. Like, I'm going to be a real Christian. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to get this right. Like, I'm going to do everything the Bible said. So I put a pressure on myself to try to do all these things to earn. And the Lord had to show me that his salvation and his love is not earned by my works.
Like, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
But the point of what I'm talking about, which is attached to purpose, we're talking about purpose, not value. So different. There's a difference. There's a difference
between intertwined or intertwined.
Some people make their what they do their value, or they base their value off of what they do. Mm-hmm. I think that's a view that some people have that's not right. We're not supposed to view our value on what we do, because you're just as valuable if you work at McDonald's versus if you clean floors versus if you are unemployed versus your stay-at-home mom versus your Bill Gates. Like, it's the same value across the board. But when we're talking about purpose, because that's what this episode is about, it's about purpose. We already covered the not enough. But when we're talking about purpose, a part of purpose is, our purpose is to know God.
And 100%.
And to pursue active relationship and intimate relationship with him.
100%.
And along that journey of pursuing and knowing him, he will lead us to do things.
Yes.
He will lead us to do things that affect the nations, that affect generations to come,
yes,
that affect the people in our life right here, or yes, the people online, that will affect, you know, cause an effect in the earth. But
what makes you think that you sitting here not doing anything doesn't bring glory to
God? We're doing something, and it is bringing glory to God.
I know.
This is a part of the obedience, you know? This is a part of we've studied our Bible, right? We've spent time in prayer. I did both of those today. Praise God. I did good. Got my cookie. No, I'm just joking. But no,
stop.
We've done that. And I'm coming as a part of this podcast, it's not doing nothing because I'm in purpose right now.
Exactly.
This was my purpose for today. Now, tomorrow we're going to be shooting too, but the next day, even when I'm not shooting, there's a different purpose for that. So it brings back to the point is there's different purposes for every single day. But it's not, there's not this pressure. The purpose doesn't determine our value, like what he's called you to do. And sometimes this is getting off into a whole nother thing. But sometimes we want this great big calling, because we got to talk about calling versus prayer. We want this great grand calling.
I want to fill stadiums full of people.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe that's your calling. Maybe that is. But what if you're the person who's supposed to check people into the stadiums? What if your calling is that? And maybe he's graced you with such a great smile and a warmth that when people who are hurting are coming in to hear God, you're the warmth that they needed. And when they leave, they're going to remember that usher, man, they really blessed me. They really made me feel seen. They really made me feel loved. One thing that's I value, and I think I've said this in other episodes, that is very important to me is making sure that people feel loved, that every person that comes in contact with me, whether it be walking past me or like a friendship or whatever, is that they know that they're valued and they're loved, like that they're heard, they're seen, like, you know, and that's very important to me. And so I think God gives us different callings and it looks different, you know, and it may be, like we said, the usher, it may be the cashier, it may be the person feeling owning the stadium. It may be the person that's hosting the, you know, the ministry that's happening at the stadium, but none of it determines God's love for you or your value. 100%. That's not purpose.
We could say, I think we're saying the same thing and we agree on it. I'm just emphasizing the point that there's nothing left you have to do. That you are his.
You can't keep saying that. But yeah, nothing left you have to do to be loved and to be valued. You have to add that part.
Okay.
Yeah, to be loved and to be valued. But you do have to do something for purpose. And that's what we're talking about today. Purpose.
Yes, but it comes from the ability to, from there. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Long as that's the foundation. The foundation is knowing that you're loved and you're valued. That's the foundation of like
so
your heart and emotions.
An example is, and I think there's studies on this as well too. You can have somebody that makes a jack ton of money, but they hate their work.
Mm-hmm.
They will like burn out, but you can have somebody doing what they love without
with no money.
With no money.
Yeah.
And they'll be thriving.
Yeah.
So that's the difference I'm talking about. It makes when you understand how he loves you. He loves you before you do anything for him.
Yeah.
I guess that's a great way to say it. He loves you
before
you do anything. I think that's what that might be better language of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm attaching to the nucleus of purpose is that you are one of his great creations.
Yes.
And there's nothing you have to do to earn any of his gifts. And because he loves you so much and has built you with such interests. So one of the things that I feel like where the pressure was coming me from the church is like, you just had like this exhausted. What's the way of saying short? You had this short list of the different areas you could do, you know, whether it be professional ministry or just other things, but there's like, I think there's 7 billion different ways to serve the Lord. However many people there are in the world, there's different ways. And yes, the Bible is clear and gives us those giftings.
Mm-hmm.
But the same way that, you know, I think you have like, a few spiritual gifts that you're going to have your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he brings different ones in different seasons.
For sure.
And I feel like that's associated with your calling. So I feel like what I want to do is attach the knowing God is your purpose. That's your purpose. Your entire life is to get to know God because he's so mysterious and big, and his ways are so much higher than us that we can only hope to imagine to know a sum before we die.
Yeah.
But the fun is in the journey.
Yes.
And then the calling is the thing that can be in seasons, whether that season is your whole life or your calling could change depending on the season. I was called here to do this with these gifts.
Yeah. There's different time, like Yes, there's different seasons and times, and like your calling can be this for this season and it could be something else for this next season.
Yes.
But yeah.
But your purpose is separate from that because there'll be times where seasons of rest.
You're getting back to literally everything I said in the very beginning.
I know.
That's why I love you.
Because
we work it out.
I agree with everything you're saying, but you have to be able, I'm just going to say it here, and this is not an egotistical way, but you have to be able to love yourself to fully and healthily do the purposes of God.
Yes.
Whether that's a moment or a journey, because that's, in a sense, that's respecting what he's created.
Yes.
That's trusting that what he has created in you,
yes,
that it is good.
Yes.
So it's an act of trust to love yourself.
You have to love yourself from that lens, because what I've also
not
seen,
a selfish, egotistical, I think I'm the best.
I was just
not
about to
from
say,
that whatsoever.
So from what I've sometimes, and this is something that I pray for my children that is not their struggle, but sometimes this ain't you.
This isn't
this
me.
Is them, not you.
It's on record.
Not,
it's
not y'all.
Talking
it's
about
them.
Me.
It's not y'all. It's them, and it's not you.
Okay, just
but. Sometimes people who have grown up in the church can have a sense of
self-righteousness,
and they think, oh, I don't do this. I haven't done this. I don't do this. And they can esteem themselves so high because they didn't go, do these list of things. And they're like, and I do the Bible plan every day and I do this. And they think that their works have made them righteous or their works. It's all like about their works and what I've done and I've done this and I've this. And versus people who've been through some nitty gritty stuff in life and have made some horrible decisions and come to God knowing like, I can't do this without you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You, I thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for still accepting and loving me despite me. Like there's a difference. You know what I mean? It's like a rawness. It's like the, you know, in the Bible, it talks about he who is forgiven much loves much, you know?
Yeah, yes.
And so there's a different zeal and passion that comes when you know you did not live the cleanest of lives and now you just want to run and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a different level of surrender and humility that comes in that, that sometimes, and that's what I'm praying for my children, that I don't want them to have the trauma and the experiences, but I want them to have such a love and understanding of like, you're great. Mommy loves you, but you ain't that great.
Yeah.
You still need his grace. You still need his mercy.
Yeah.
You still need Jesus's righteousness, no matter how many mission trips you go on, no matter how many times you never smoked. You never drank. I waited till I was married to have sex. You know what I mean? Like, even if you do all those things, you are still in need of Jesus for saving. He still needs to save you. It was
for
nothing
sure.
that you did to earn this. It was still a free gift and it was still an act of love and sacrifice. Jesus dying on the cross for that.
Yeah.
And so it's that mindset of like, I'm just so great or I'm just so this. No, you're great.
Yeah, it's called pride.
You're great.
But pride comes before a fall.
You ain't that great, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's a piece to that, that when you're that raw or humble, that you recognize like,
oh, for sure,
how great God is as a father.
Yes.
And just how great Jesus is for enduring that for us, you know? And from that place, it's like, wow, I must be special because you love me so much for that. Not, I'm just so great.
Exactly.
What I mean?
That's exactly what I've been trying to say.
Yeah. And so I think the lens of like taking it from a selfish place to like a God-centered place is...
From pride to humility.
Yes. Is, like I was saying before, the not focusing so much on the exploits. Sometimes in this world, we're so focused on like that I did this and I'm all the accolades and all the great grand things. But really the purpose in this life is really to just know God intimately. And as we know him, we do the great things. We're strengthened to be able to take on whatever comes in life, like whatever good or bad, because the Bible says when you go through trials. So in life, we will experience some things that are not pleasant, right?
Yes.
And so when I experience those things, as I'm in pursuit of knowing God intimately, he will strengthen me. He will give me the strength to go through whatever comes my way, whether it's good or bad. He will give me the tools necessary to accomplish whatever it is he's called me to accomplish. And that comes from, that strength comes from a place of knowing God and knowing him intimately, like Daniel 11:32 says. And yes. So when I think of purpose, I think of that scripture and I summarize it as, my purpose is to know God. My purpose is to pursue to know him intimately, not to know of God, not to just read the Bible and know facts about God, but to actually know and have experiences with God, you know, like to hear his voice, like even if I don't hear it audibly, but I hear it in different things, you know, different ways. God speaks in so many different ways. But but just that experience of real relationship, not religion, but real relationship with God, real fellowship with God, where I can come to my Father and for answers and he gives me answers, where I can come hurt and he comforts me, where I can have hope, where I can have joy, where I can lean. What is his word? I'm struggling with depression right now. Let me go in his word. What does his word say about joy? Okay, this is what your word says. So I'm going to take that in prayer and I'm going to use that. And now I'm equipped and I'm strengthened because I know what his word says and I'm standing on his word. And now I'm empowered to go out and do what he's called me to do.
Sorry, I wasn't being a jerk. I was actually.
How dare you?
I was looking up a verse sparked.
You're such a little.
Back to where you were talking about how sometimes that people who feel like they can check the boxes in church have a little bit of self-righteousness.
Yeah. And then judge the people who are struggling.
Exactly. That just brought to mind like one of my favorite verses that I often like when I'm writing in my prayer journal or whatever, I will quote often, and it's the Psalms 139, 23 and 24. This is David. He says, "Search my heart, O God, and search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This is NLT. I'm usually NIV, so I'm not familiar with it's a little bit different. So I'm like, what? You know? And so that is my posture. And I guess it's a little bit easier to have that posture when you have my background of being adopted, having learning disabilities, I guess. So my past has helped me to live and seek him and other knowledge in humility. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's one of my, and I hope to goodness it stays that way, to be one of my superpowers is not only to be vulnerable, which I think is just AKA for TMI.
No, but you are. That's one thing I love about you.
But that's okay because I know that God still loves me. So it doesn't hurt my ego. I don't need to stroke my ego to tell you something very, very vulnerable, because I know that the seed of healing that God can use when somebody feels not alone in a situation is way more value than me holding on to my fake facade of what people think.
Yes.
And so that's how I can be so vulnerable.
That's what makes people comfortable.
To you. Well, thank you. But also back what you were talking about is like every time I especially in the New Testament, whenever Jesus is talking and teaching, it always goes back to a heart posture.
Yeah, always.
Always back to a heart posture. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage you guys that it's not about, like you've been saying, about the big destination that you arrive to or the boxes you're checking. Mm-hmm. Like, those boxes mean jack at the end of the day. Even if you're filling them all out, even if you're reading your reading plan, even if you're doing everything that church says to do, even the Bible says to do in some parts. That one didn't work out. this is live. but if your heart is not postured properly.
Yes. And you're judging other people.
That's like clanging kongs.
Yeah.
That ain't nothing.
Yeah.
And you can know if your heart is in the right place by asking, am I reflecting humility?
Yes.
Am I being...
Search my heart, Lord.
Exactly. And that's why I say things like that.
Is it pride, God? Search my heart.
Exactly.
Am I being lazy or do I need to rest, God? Search my heart.
So my default is always that I probably was off a little bit, you know? And so that it allows... Like, if you approach life in every situation like that, you will be like exponentially growing all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. And changing... I'm not saying we don't have periods where we don't do that, because I ain't perfect. Y'all know that. Y'all know I ain't perfect.
And I never have been, and I don't think I ever will be until I get to heaven. Yeah. And even then, I don't know. That's another topic.
But that is one thing that I feel like I'm good at.
Yeah.
I can, as Gordon Ramsay would say, taste and adjust.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's
if
funny?
If I'm being bad, you say something, I will correct.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think that's my superpower too. And I think it
superpowers
looks...
Superpowers combined.
And I think it looks different because I'm not a TMI person, but I'm definitely not, I don't even know the word. I'm private, but I'm very transparent.
Okay.
And I think it's within context or like what needs to be said, you know?
Yes.
Like when I'm mentoring people or even in our relationship, when subject comes up, I'm going to tell you like the most of the, you know, I'm like, yeah. Oh, this.
I heard some juicy stuff, guys.
Yeah. I'm going to be
tea.
Yeah.
I've wiped up some tea. No, just kidding.
For sure. But I'm not. I love you. You sipped on a little tea with me.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be making a post like, oh, today this person, you know what
don't
I mean?
Don't get me started.
Or I'm
on
not
that.
Going to be like, I'm not going to be just like vomiting over everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think there's an appropriate place for it and stuff too. But I think that's a part of my superpower. And I think that's why people feel so comfortable sharing. Like people be telling me some stuff. I'd be like, wow, I'm surprised that they said that out loud.
You're like, trigger check.
Wow. Oh, okay. And all you can say is, okay, praise God.
They needed to get that off their chest.
That's where my praise God came from. Like, okay, praise God. You
okay,
know?
So now I know the subtext to
praise
that.
God. Because sometimes it'd be a lot and you just be like, okay, praise God. But my heart is to never, ever judge, no matter where. Even if there's something that God has shown me and taught me, I would never judge another person because there's other areas that he hasn't shown me and taught me yet too. And so I think it's just living with people with grace and understanding, asking the Lord to check your heart, never judging where someone is at, what they think, what they feel comfortable doing, because you never know where they are in their journey.
Exactly.
And you never know, God could be working on this other area. So he's allowing this other area here while he's doing this.
Don't let age fool you, right? Because you think they're older but you know, how old are they in their spiritual journey?
Yes.
It makes a difference.
Yes. And if you're unwilling to say, God, search my heart, there's people who are walking around, a couple that I know, that are walking around who think that they're just God's favorite child and I'm just great and I'm killing it. How dare you do that? And, you know, but they walk around in judgment. You know, they walk around and nobody's comfortable talking to them. No one feels seen. No one feels heard. Everyone feels judged. Everyone feels the pressure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're just walking around like, because they're not asking, Lord, search my heart. Show me, help me. I want to grow. I want to be like you. I know I'm messed up. Every day I'd be like, Lord, I'm so messed up. Help me. Even with like desiring certain, like I'm going to get real. A little bit ago, I had to pray. I said, Lord, increase my desire. Increase my desire to read your word because I'm not
literally.
I don't desire it right now. There's seasons I go through where it's good. And I'm like, putting two and two together. I'm like, whoa. And then there's other times where I'm like, I'm doing this so I don't get fined. You
know?
So I don't get fined, you know? And that's a prayer I really had to pray because it's honest. And I had to say, okay, God, increase my desire to live holy.
There's a verse that my actual life verse that I don't have memorized that speaks to that is that he says that he gives you the will to do it.
Yes. What pleases him. Yes.
Exactly.
That's when I love to.
Yeah.
But sometimes we have to pray that prayer because we're not going
to want to God.
Yes. I'm not going
to. Hopefully you're not praying that before bed, but you could.
Did it.
He will give you the will.
No, if that's the struggle, pray for that too. But no, we're not, as much as we love God, there's still a searching. I'm always in need of the Lord in some area and in some way of my life. I have nothing figured out. There's something new. He's always teaching me. And even the things that I think I know, in a couple months, I might have to relearn them. I might have to go back and rewatch the podcast.
Or sharpen them.
Sharpen them. Yeah. And so
bring them into better focus.
Yes. Bring them into
Better understanding.
For sure.
You can know something, but then you can know.
You can know. It's something deep down in there.
Yeah.
So even lately, that's what my prayer has been, to increase my desire for that and to increase my desire to want. And you know what the Lord showed me? He was showing me, he started revealing to me ways that things that I was doing that was decreasing my desire for the word of God.
Ooh.
And I was like, what? Okay, God, check me then. Who gonna check me, boo? And I guess he checked me. He checked me so quick. And so as we do that, he begins to show us areas. Like if you say, increase my desire, or God, I want to desire you more.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, like right now, I want to go watch a movie. I don't want to spend time with you. And I haven't in a couple days, you know, but if you increase that, he'll start to show you what's making your sword dull. He'll start to show you. And so okay. You're like, what did he show you?
I know.
Okay. You want me to be real?
Yeah.
He was showing me that I was putting a lot of attention on some YouTube because I was watching a lot of different YouTube things. And I start getting to the side of like little drama stuff YouTube, you know, like where it's like, oh, the T sites or the T this, you know, like, and before I wouldn't watch anything like that, you know, but I started like, oh, what? Okay. What this famous person, what? Oh, this.
Oh,
and I
was, yeah.
And then that became interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And then I'm more in like, what, why would they do that? Oh, and then a part of that is, it stole my, like, this is interesting.
Your curiosity for God. And now you're curious now about this person.
Now I want to look it up. I'm like, okay, well, what happened with,
you went down the rabbit hole.
No, look, there's,
let me help you.
I don't know if your kids know, well, whole different community, but there was like this toxic couple that, you know, and I'm like, okay, what's Krishan doing today? You know? And the funny part about it, then I'm praying for her, like all my prayer, which I think is good. And I'm still going to continue to pray for her that God would use her. But then I'm praying for her. I'm like, Lord, deliver her, you know, help heal her, you know, all this stuff. And God's like, okay, yes, you can pray for my daughter over there, but I told you to do all these things over here and you're distracted by this. And so I'm like, oh, you're God, like, you're right. This is something new that now has consumed my focus or my attention, that now these desires are, you know, are shrinking. And so he had to come check me.
Dude.
And I'm thoroughly checked. And I'm like, oh, yes, Lord. Surrender. Right. Cut off.
Keep in check. Well, let's wrap this sucker up. Yes. I guess how we can sum this up, and we both can concur on this, mm-hmm. is that your foundational purpose.
Yes.
Is to know that there is nothing left to do to earn his love, his salvation, and his righteousness after you have received him.
Jesus, yeah.
And to
your purpose.
Run after. Yeah. 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 I was going to say that. I was just trying to find an elegant way. Is to know God.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds like elusive. Mm-hmm. So let me put it to you, if I were to break down knowing God,
yes,
is to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and mm-hmm. with all your strength. And if you do those, that's you getting to know the Lord.
Yeah. And how do you do that? You spend time getting to know him. You learn about him
in his word. Yeah, his characteristics. Same way you would date your husband, or you looking for somebody right now if you're single.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get to know them. You go out on dates. You listen to the comments they make, how they look, you know, all that stuff. It's the same thing.
This is a little side, and I know we're closing, but I used to actually go on dates with God. I would put on a nice dress. I would turn on a worship.
I'm not laughing at you.
You're laughing with me. It's okay.
Okay, continue.
That's adorable. I would put on dresses.
Would you talk to him in front of other people too?
Yeah, but this would be like intimate. So I would turn on worship music, and I would be at my house, and I would dance with the Lord, and I would just literally imagine myself dancing with the Lord, and I would just worship him, and I would do that. And that was it was before I was married, I was single. So I was like, I'm going to date the Lord the same way I want to be like dated, you know, in the natural, like I'm going to date the Lord like that. And so on a Friday night, I'll be put on my little nice dress. Like, I'm going to date the Lord. And it was building intimacy. It was.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long did you do that for?
I feel like until I got married and started having some kids, then I stopped doing that. That part of it, like the putting on the dress.
Yeah, now you're dating. Put on lingerie for Michael. Sorry.
On that note, thank you for watching.
See you guys.
We love you.
Oops. Was that TMI?
No, that's the truth.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
It's messy thing. All kinds of messy things. All right, folks. How do we turn this thing off? Hey, it's Emily here. I just wanted to thank you on behalf of Satricia and I for listening to the Messy Faith podcast and allowing us to speak into your life.
And hey, we don't want it just one way. We would love to hear from you. You can contact us at any time through our website, our email at ask@messyfaith.com. You can like us on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever you listen to us at. And hey, we'd love a little review. Can't wait to hear from you.